Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. On this podcast, we're going to discuss whether Francis Collins and Carl Giberson's Neanderthal arguments in their book The Language of Science and Faith demonstrate common ancestry. When most people hear Neanderthal, they think of a primitive, caveman-like, pre-human brute. What many don't realize is that this popular view is very much a Darwinian interpretation, and it is contradicted by much evidence. In their book The Language of Science and Faith, theistic Darwinian evolutionists Carl Giberson and Francis Collins attempt to capitalize on the inaccurate popular mindset by suggesting that if humans are related to Neanderthals, then somehow that bolsters common ancestry in a more general sense. For example, they state that Neanderthal, quote, DNA similarity to Homo sapiens is striking. Precise but unusual variations are found in both our DNA and in the DNA from Neanderthal bones. The data imply interesting evolutionary connections, unquote. They go on to state, quote, compelling evidence of this sort for common ancestry grows almost daily, unquote. This may be compelling evidence for common ancestry, but what kind of common ancestry are we talking about? Exactly what or who are humans sharing a common ancestor with? Do Neanderthals represent a decidedly non-human primitive species? Not at all. In fact, Giberson and Collins admit that Neanderthals are, quote, best understood as a subspecies of Homo sapiens. Yet somehow they do not elaborate for their readers that this in no way bolsters a general argument for common ancestry. In fact, many experts think that Neanderthals are essentially us, and we are them. As far as evolution is concerned, observing that living humans share common ancestry with Neanderthals might be little more significant than saying we share common ancestry with ancient Europeans. As a 2007 article in the Washington Post, quoting paleoanthropologist Eric Trinkhouse, states, quote, given the data we now have, it would be highly improbable to argue that there is no Neanderthal contribution to the early European population that came out of Africa, Trinkhouse says. I believe there was continuous breeding between the two for some period of time. Both groups would seem to us dirty and smelly, but cleaned up, we would understand them both to be human. There's good reason to think that they did as well, unquote. The article further reports that Trinkhouse's study, quote, concluded that a significant number of skeletons have attributes associated with both Neanderthals and the modern humans who replaced them, unquote. The article continues stating, quote, although Neanderthals live in the public imagination as hulking and slow-witted alley-oops, Trinkhouse and others say there is no reason to believe they were any less intelligent than the newly arrived modern humans. Neanderthals were stockier and had larger brows, sharper teeth, and more jutting jaws, but their brain capacity appears to have been no different than those of the newcomers, unquote. Similarly, a 1999 article in Time magazine reported that, quote, the real message, Trinkhouse believes, is that to people living in the Stone Age, Neanderthals were just another tribe. They may have had heavier brows, or broader noses, or stockier builds, but behaviorally, socially, and reproductively, they were all just people, unquote. Likewise, a 2010 Nature News article stated that Neanderthals may not be exactly extinct, stating, quote, it may help explain the fate of the Neanderthals who vanished from the fossil record about 30,000 years ago. It means Neanderthals didn't completely disappear, says Jeffrey Long, a genetic anthropologist at the University of New Mexico, whose group conducted the analysis. There's a little bit of Neanderthal left over in almost all humans, he says, unquote. Given the high degree of skeletal similarity between humans and Neanderthals, the notion that we interbred is nothing new. They have been called a possible race of our own species, and studies have found that their body shape is highly similar to that of modern humans. In addition to the genetic evidence, the discovery of morphological mosaics indicates that they likely interbred with modern humans as well. The finding of a modern human-like hyoid bone in a Neanderthal implies that they may have had language capabilities. In fact, there's evidence that they used tools and technology. According to Smithsonian Magazine, quote, Neanderthals, traditionally designated Homo sapiens neanderthalensis, were not only human, but also, it turns out, more modern than scientists previously allowed. In the minds of the European anthropologists who first studied them, Neanderthals were the embodiment of primitive humans, subhumans if you will, says Fred H. Smith, a physical anthropologist at Loyola University in Chicago, who's been studying Neanderthal DNA. They were believed to be scavengers who made primitive tools and were incapable of language or symbolic thought. Now, he says, researchers believe that Neanderthals were highly intelligent, able to adapt to a wide variety of ecological zones, and capable of developing highly functional tools to help them do so. They were quite accomplished. The researchers and others have also found dozens of pieces of sharpened manganese dioxide, black crayons, essentially that Neanderthals probably used to color animal skins or even their own. In his office at the University of Bordeaux, Derrico hands me a chunk of manganese dioxide. Toward the end of their time on Earth, he says, Neanderthals were using technology as advanced as that of contemporary anatomically modern humans and were using symbolism in much the same way, unquote. In fact, Neanderthals buried their dead, and they had an average brain size which was slightly larger than that of modern humans. Perhaps it's time to stop seeing Neanderthals as primitives, as a popular icon of evolution, but rather as a subrace of our own species. To Guybrouson and Collins' credit, they recognize this point, but they do not recognize that it therefore prevents Neanderthals from demonstrating that humans share ancestry with something that isn't human. If Guybrouson and Collins want to make the case that humans share quote-unquote common ancestry with non-human species, they're going to have to find an example other than Neanderthals. Neanderthals do essentially nothing to bolster the case that humans evolved from more primitive hominids. I'm Casey Luskin. Stay tuned for more with further reviews of The Language of Science and Faith on ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.